It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. And now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you, this is Caffeinated Comics. I'm your host, John Clark. With me, as almost always, is my co-host.
Your almost always co-host, Steven Brown.
Yeah, and Nick Taz is here.
Finally, Nick Taz is here.
I know, you guys have been We've been hounding me.
Yeah,
it's actually the reverse.
It is the reverse. Nick is like one of our biggest fans.
Oh, I love
long
who's,
time listener.
Who's been talking about coming on for a while, and then he's like, then he finally, Steven's like, "Can I come on?" I'm like, we're like, "Yes,
yes."
Oh yeah, I've been.
We need to be able to come on,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he lives out in Bufu, so
yeah.
Get is him Bufu here. A place? I haven't lived here that long.
Bufu's anywhere else. If I can't get there from Chicago in half an hour, it's Bufu.
Oh, that's big Bufu. Though.
That is a lot of Bufu out there.
I think I work in Bufu now.
Bufu is a big place.
Bufu is the rest of the universe, I
think. It
know.
Is. It is.
The Klingon
Anything
Empire.
Anything outside of my sphere of influence.
Cloud City is in Bufu.
Yeah, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah. Middle Earth. Just everything.
Yeah, Middle Earth. Yeah, all that stuff.
Gotham. It's all in Bufu.
All of it. It's all the same place.
But we were talking about what the topic should be, and there's just so much news. There's been so much news the last couple weeks.
It's kind of nonstop, actually.
No.
Which makes sense, because there's so many different, like, things in the works, all these different movies and comics and all this stuff, so it's like, every week, pretty much, I mean, are there 52 different announcements going to be made a year? Yes. just have to try to cover them all.
Yeah, we're getting to a point now where we don't have to think of topics a lot.
You know what? We're like a, we're like
well,
a fucking
this
news show now.
We're like, this
we're like news reporters.
There's too much news! And by the way, thanks everybody who listened last week to our conversation with John Suntress. We got the most hits we have ever gotten.
John Suntress
on Facebook
is a wonderful man.
And Twitter. It was huge. That and the Joe Packovitz and I met Howard Chaykin at Oh Yeah, and we had some pictures of that. And which was great, because John Suntress is there, and that's the picture that we used on last week's episode.
Perfect.
And those have like it's like 400% of what we usually get on the Facebook page. So thanks everybody who looked at it, who liked it.
Yep.
Make sure you like the page and come back and make sure you're listening to the episode. I can't tell people who aren't listening to the episode to listen to the episode.
It'll be tricky.
That's a paradox.
It's like retroactively.
That's like when you say, this is going to be a spoiler, so stop listening. And then I'm like, but then you can never tell them to start listening again, because now they're no longer listening.
Yeah, for a minute, check in for like 3 seconds after I say that, after like a 10-minute period, check in for like 3 seconds. If you hear anything that sounds spoilerish, turn it off again for another 10 minutes, and then check in again for about 3 seconds.
That's a good rule. I should run like a stopwatch.
There you go.
So like, all right, I'm going to start in a minute now. And then if they come back, you're still talking, be like, I'm sorry, guys, one more minute.
One more.
You should just do that arbitrarily.
This is the kind of shit Dave Gonzalez would have been doing if he was here from the beginning as an engineer, like he fucking told us he was going to be.
Yeah. He's been on the show. We got to give him that.
That's true. That is true. He has been on the show.
But there are a million, it feels like a million huge news stories, and all movies.
What are some of the big ones, John?
Well, some of the big ones is that it's been rumored, but it is now confirmed that Benedict Cumberbatch is playing Doctor Strange.
Questions. Do we think that he is going to be an English Doctor Strange, or is he going to do like an American accent? And has anyone ever heard him do an American accent?
I've heard him do accents when he did the WikiLeaks founder, Martin DeSange. I believe he did a different accent. I would rather he don't do an accent.
That he would just be English?
I'm fine with Stephen Strange being English. Nick,
yeah.
What do you think?
I'm totally fine with that. I mean, he's done Smog. I guess that's an accent.
It's still British.
Khan was still British.
Khan was still a little bit British.
British-ish.
Yeah, I don't really care if he's an English Doctor Strange. It's nothing like if they made Spider-Man English, I'd be like, hey, come on, Spider-Man's from New York. He's centering that character.
Yeah, it's like an American James Bond.
Exactly.
It's like, cut it out.
Doctor Strange is what he is. Doctor Strange is worldly.
Right, you know? Exactly. Mm-hmm. And he can be, you know, an English dude in New York in the Sanctum Sanctorum type deal or whatever, you know, moves here. Mm-hmm. People do that from time to time.
Yeah. But, you know, it'd be like, it's like Constantine. One of the reasons I like Constantine, and I say it every single week.
Because people aren't watching. Enough people aren't watching.
Save Constantine. Hashtag save Constantine. Oh, last night's was amazing, by the way.
You're keeping up with it.
Oh, I love Constantine.
See, people who watch it love it.
I heard it isn't getting canceled.
No, no. Well, we talked about that on the show, and the last I heard, David Goyer said that the DVR and the downloads are great.
Oh, good.
So
it's incredible that we're at a point where they can check that stuff to where, like, people are now like, oh, no, yes, it matters what people are DVRing to the point where it's like it now counts towards the ratings.
That's what kept Community on.
Yeah.
I mean, Community never had a lot of viewers.
I don't know the last time I watched a show the hour it came out. You know what I mean?
Like, I don't know the last time you were home between 8 and 10.
Yeah, it's been a minute. Hasn't
it? Most of the shows you want to watch are on while you're working.
Yeah, but my point being, I like the fact that Matt Ryan is playing it British, because when Keanu Reeves did it with an American accent, it totally felt wrong.
Yeah.
I don't need that with Doctor Strange. I can have Benedict Cumberbatch, because he's going to be weird
and
oddly attractive to women in a way I can't describe.
That pasty white skin.
A bit creepy.
Yeah, you know, I've been rocking the pasty white skin my whole life, and not once have the ladies been like, there's that guy. There's that guy who needs to see the sun some more often.
I never get the compliment.
Are you saying you've lived your whole life with no woman ever being attracted to you? Is that what you're...
It feels like it.
I've met women you've dated.
That's true.
So that's wrong.
Yeah. When you really reflect on it, I suppose.
But the rumor that came out... that's been going around this week is that Benedict Cumberbatch might be in the extra scene in Avengers Age of Ultron, which is why they announced it now. The rumor is as soon as they announced him, they got him in there.
Well, my thinking was after they announced, Marvel did that big press conference thing that broke the internet for a minute.
Yeah.
And they announced, hey, look, we're confirming that there's a Black Panther movie, which is just a rumor before then. And not only is it confirmed, here's the actor who's playing him.
Yeah, he's right here with us.
Which is crazy, because they confirmed a Captain Marvel movie before that, and they haven't even figured out who the actress is playing, which makes me think Black Panther is going to be in Avengers 2.
And you remember, they didn't confirm Benedict Cumberbatch, and we were thinking that was going to happen.
We thought that would be the big announcement. Because
the rumor was that it was him at that point, and they didn't... At that point, I was like, well, they probably haven't completely signed. They're probably talking about money.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, 2% or 3%. And they were probably at that point where it wasn't a done deal. It
wasn't finalized.
Yeah, where Black Panther is a done deal.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. It's like it shouldn't have been announced and casted as a same-day announcement unless that guy was already ready to film.
Right.
Meaning they're either filming Black Panther or they filmed scenes. Well, I mean, we know Claw's in Avengers 2. We saw a picture of Andy Serkis is playing Claw, who's a big Black Panther villain. I bet you we're going to get Black Panther in
Andy
Avengers
Serkis
2.
Is in everything now. He's in Star Wars. Right? He's in Avengers.
Is he in Star Wars, the new one?
He is. He is the one that does a voiceover in the trailer.
That's him?
Yeah, that's Andy Serkis.
Really?
Goes to show I have no idea what that guy sounds like, unless he sounds like Gollum.
I know, right? Right?
Or an ape.
He didn't sound like Schmeagol, so I so, fucking don't know what he sounds
sound
like.
Caesar. He wasn't going, hur, hur, hur. That's the only other voice he has. But the rumor that the extra scene in Avengers, and this could be, it sounds like it could be purely fan created.
Yeah.
Is that the extra scene will be Captain America deciding to create his own Avengers team, and there's Black Panther, Ms. Marvel,
and I've heard
Doctor Strange, which is interesting because then we're going into Civil War.
Right.
That might be one of the things Tony has a problem with.
With two different
Avengers. He's like, look, you started your own team without me. I don't know who these people are. That's it. We're registering.
Yeah.
I could see that happening very easily.
Yeah, because that's the big rumor we hear coming out of Avengers 2 is that the team's going to be broken up, so you won't have like your Thors and your Iron Mans and Caps. It'll be Cap with like Quicksilver, Scarlet Witch, Vision, Hawkeye, and maybe
Black
Widow.
Panther, Doctor Strange,
and
Ms. Marvel.
Doctor Strange, Black Panther, Ms. Marvel, which are all confirmed. Or Falcon.
Falcon,
and they said War Machine. We saw him in the trailer. He's in this.
So Don Cheadle is definitely in Avengers 2, yeah.
I mean, but just Falcon, think of all the characters they got in this universe now.
Unbelievable.
They can create two teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And two really, really cool teams. Like, we don't need the big three anymore.
You've got enough guys that, you know, there's physical power with, like, Vision and Scarlet Witch and Captain Marvel now, but then also great characters like Black Panther, you know, War Machine could be in it, you know.
Yep.
Which,
and they can just touch
Marvel.
And go. They don't have to necessarily be the sidekick or the villain in a movie. They could just kind of appear and move on.
Right.
In a way where it felt forced in Iron Man 2. Now there's so many characters, it feels more natural.
It feels more natural.
So I was watching Guardians of the Galaxy came out on Blu-ray this week.
Yeah.
And I forgot that moment. There's a moment at the end where Drax says, like, like Ronan was just a pawn. I need to kill Thanos.
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking, well, Thanos is going to be the villain in Avengers 3 and 4, and which I think defines the theory I have, is that Guardians of the Galaxy are going to show up in Avengers 3 or 4 or
Yeah, both. You figure, we've said this as long ago as the first end of the credit scene for Avengers with Thanos, was that what will probably happen, because we knew at that point they were making Guardians of the Galaxy, is that they're going to do... You know, now that the Avengers is split into two movies, you figure the first move will be the Avengers getting the tar beaten out of them by Thanos. Then the Guardians show up, and it's only with the added might of those characters, and then possibly even the Silver Surfer at this point, who's back at Marvel.
Is Silver Surfer back at Marvel?
Yeah, really? Marvel got the rights back after Fantastic Four 2 bombed. Marvel got the rights back for Silver Surfer and Galactus.
Because I remember Fox was planning on a Silver Surfer movie,
and I guess when they couldn't get it off the ground, the rights reverted back to Marvel.
Huh. Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thing about the Fantastic Four license, is we know there's an Inhumans movie coming.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. another big piece of news was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Are you watching this, Nick?
I didn't. I've kind of backtracked on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just because all the DC movie. Or
there's
DC,
so much coming out.
There's so much stuff. It's hard to keep track of everything, you know?
We're at the point now, there's too many TV shows.
Some of these start getting added to Netflix, like the first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did. So I finally got a chance to watch most of it at the store, which means I saw half of it. But yeah, it's until the rest of these shows are dumped on Netflix, there's no way to catch up on
right.
it, you know?
But in the last episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and this might be spoilers if you guys haven't caught up, but honestly, I think you know by now.
Yeah,
I've
heard all that.
We're completely in the Inhumans. And not only... I didn't get this until I read the articles later, but the whole thing about Skye, like who were her parents,
yep.
and they revealed in this last episode that... that her father is Mr. Hyde.
Yeah.
Who's played by Kyle MacLachlan, who's been around for a while. So Mr. Hyde's in it. And her mother was an Inhuman, and she's an Inhuman. And they've had this obelisk for the season.
Yeah.
And it killed Lucy Lawless. And I was convinced it was another Infinity Stone. Because I was like,
oh, what else would it be?
Yeah, because I was like, we've seen three Infinity Stones so far.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see all six by the time Thanos has his gauntlet.
Right.
So
you figured the TV show shouldn't introduce one of them.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great to have one
That'd
come from the TV show? But it turned out it was actually the crystals that make the Terrigen Mist.
Yeah. And which they might make one of the gems. They might just pick, those crystals are part of it. Just to simplify things, right? Because the Cosmic Cube, remember, is a different thing in the comics than the Infinity Gauntlet, but they're like, the Cosmic Cube's one of the gems, just to keep everything simple.
Yeah, so inside of it's a gem, so here it is.
Right, so there's not 100 cosmic artifacts floating around out in space, like the Aya Agamotto and all this shit.
Yeah, you know, they're going to make everything a gem, because... So they all come together in that gauntlet.
Right.
But at the end of the episode, Skye does get her Inhuman powers.
Yeah. And she's Quake.
Yeah. Who's a character I don't know?
She's invented by Bendis for Secret Warriors. It was part of Nick Fury's like butterfly file. Like if
Before
the Avengers.
Hickman's?
Yeah. This is what Hickman picked up the ball and ran with. It was basically like Nick Fury has a file, a caterpillar file, he called it, of people that he thought would blossom into the next generation of like great superheroes. So she's in the file with like four or five other characters, all knucklehead nobodies, you know, like sons and daughters of villains and heroes and stuff like this. And she's really young. He recruits her immediately after the secret invasion during all the Skrull stuff. And because no one knows who she is except him, and kind of uses her as like his eyes and ears in the field.
I do remember that in Secret Invasion that he had a team.
Yeah, remember that team?
Young characters.
She was the one that was running around with like Quake powers.
Okay.
Now she's like a high ranking S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. She's like the youngest level 7 S.H.I.E.L.D. agent they've ever
been. And that makes sense because you know that Mark Waid is launching an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comic set in the Marvel Universe
with those characters.
And they said that they asked, I think, Tom Brevoort or Axel Alonso in Comic Book Resources. They said, well, when you guys showed the preview for the cover, you had Skye, and she was listed as Skye, and she looked like the actress who played Skye. They're like, did you know she was Quake? He said, no, we did know, but we realized if we didn't put her on the cover, that would have given it away. But when she shows up in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. book, she's Quake. She's going to come with the continuity.
Right, which is awesome. Yeah, that's perfect. Great. And the other announcement they made for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is that the end of this season, when it comes back, is going to lead into Civil War, or Age of Ultron.
Right.
They said, which is insane.
Yeah, and then in the middle, we're getting Agent Carter.
Yeah.
Which looks
fantastic.
They're having Jarvis on that show. How awesome is that? That Jarvis was not Tony Stark's butler, but Howard Stark's butler. And he's a badass.
And let's be fair, it's Haley Atwell for an hour.
Oh yeah, that's the reason.
I mean, the only thing that could possibly be better is if Jaime Alexander shows up as Sif, because Asgards live a long time, and then they just team up together.
And then they have to make out to defeat the bad guy.
Yeah, and there's always a fan blowing their hair.
Right.
Constant wind.
Right. It would be like
Asgardian wind.
It would be like the Linda Carter Wonder Woman times five.
Yes.
Because when I saw that as an adult, Sci-Fi was rerunning, and I was like, oh, all she does is spin and run.
Yeah.
That's all she ever did on that show. She just spins and she runs.
She looks great doing both.
That's why
she still looks great. Have you seen like interviews her?
She looks fantastic.
She still looks phenomenal. She's got to be like 60 or 70.
That makes me feel bad.
Yeah. I won't look half that good in 10 years.
You didn't look half that good then.
I was.
When she was your age, she was doing Wonder Woman. I'm looking at you right now.
Like, what the fuck
you are no Wonder Woman.
What the fuck have I done?
You're not even a Steve Trevor.
Uh-uh.
But. Yeah, so that's one run. And then I think the biggest news, which was which was a rumor, and then it was debunked, and now we're finding out it's still going on, that Spider-Man may cross over into the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, I still...
Or the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I don't think it's going
to
happen.
I think it is.
You have to look where Marvel's going with their movies. You have Infinity War coming. Infinity War was such a big... combination of characters meeting. You don't have the Fantastic Four anywhere meeting with.
Yeah.
You can't do that on screen, but you can do the Guardians meeting with the Avengers, which would be huge.
Yeah.
Spider-Man was in Infinity War. Just little cameos. So
throw Spider-Man in there.
If you're looking at the way that Marvel's going, you know they want to get this character back. They want Spider-Man back.
Yeah. Because
they know that if not only can they make a good movie with him, they can throw him in any team you can have Spider-Man.
And no matter how good these movies are, Spider-Man will always be their flagship character.
Agreed.
You know,
I'm not saying
until
Marvel
the end of time,
want
Spider-Man
it.
Is Marvel's Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's not something Marvel wants. I just don't see them being able to work with the jackasses at Sony to get this figured out.
But that's what we found out with this with the Sony leaks,
this email hack,
which we believe North Korea did.
Because of the James Franco. Which is like, you couldn't make this shit up. A evil country fucking hacked a fucking entertainment corporation to leak their emails to publicly embarrass them because one of their movies publicly embarrassed the evil country. Who is an evil country doing greasy, goofy things out of, like, science fiction?
What I love is how great is it that we might get Spider-Man in the Marvel Universe because North Korea hates Harry Osborn.
That is perfect. That is awesome. Yeah, I just think it's like the Sony's a bunch of dickheads, so I don't think they're going to play nice with Marvel. They're going to ask for too much money, and Marvel's going to say no. But we were talking about this at the store the other day. You know, since Iron Man, they've been leading up to Avengers. Since Avengers, they've been leading up to Infinity War. What's after Infinity War?
That's not planned yet, but anything can change.
Yeah.
By that. And what Marvel has said is they're looking at what does really well. I think we're guaranteed a third Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Oh, yeah. Pretty much any movie Marvel's going to make, figure we'll get three of. Hulk's kind of the goofy exception right now.
Well, the problem with Hulk is that it bombed twice.
Well, yeah, and I think Marvel could probably make a really successful Hulk movie with Mark Ruffalo. The problem is Marvel's got too many spinning plates now. Mm-hmm. Guardians, Thor, Captain America, Iron Man, Avengers, Doctor Strange, Black Panther, Captain Marvel. They've got almost 10 properties.
Yeah.
There's not enough time or money to make all those movies come out regularly.
But I still think they're going to get Spider-Man. The reason is because, first of all, Sony gave back the TV rights to Marvel.
Yeah.
So they're willing to negotiate on some level, which is why, unfortunately, Spectacular Spider-Man, which was an amazing anime
series. That was my
series,
favorite Spider-Man cartoon.
Yeah, Greg Wiseman, who did Young Justice and Gargoyles, did. It got just canceled because Sony was producing it. It had nothing to do with the show.
Nope.
It's just, it was Sony's show, and now Sony doesn't have the rights for Spider-Man.
And now Marvel put out that shitty Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah, although apparently they changed the show completely because it's now called Ultimate Spider-Man Web Warriors, and I think his shitty team is gone. Where it's more...
Oh, they got rid of like Iron Fist and Luke Cage and all those knuckleheads?
Yeah, yeah, I think so. And from what I've seen, there's an ad on the Guardians of the Galaxy Blu-ray, and Ben and I ran across it. It looks like it's more about Spider-Man running into alternate versions of Spider-Man, where it's like this week it's Spider-Man 29.
You know what's crazy?
It's Spider-Verse.
They're tying it to Spider-Verse because that Spider-Man is in Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
And they draw him exactly like the animation. And they just did an issue this last week where they run into that 66 Spider-Man, You know, like the animated one without the with the webs don't go down his costume. And he meets like Miles Morales and the Spider-Man from that cartoon, and he's like, don't you guys think you overdid the webs on your costumes? Does that look like a bit much? They're like cracking jokes about
that's
it.
That's why I love Dan Slott. I haven't read it yet. I have it.
Yeah.
And it's up. And this was a week where I got like a bunch of omnibuses that I've been meaning to get to. So this week comics have been sitting there. But that is great. But I think that is what they're doing with the animated universe. But that's Marvel.
Yeah.
Sony has no hand in that. And from what I saw was they said Sony was willing to give Marvel Spider-Man for a 60-40 split. And we were talking right before the show, and with the way those Andrew Garfield movies have done, 40% of a Marvel Studios produced Spider-Man is probably more than 100% of the Andrew Garfield.
Which is a shame, because I actually like Andrew Garfield more than Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, but man, those movies are awful. You know what I mean?
That's the sad thing is that he's so great, and he's built like a Mark Bagley drawing.
Yeah.
And he's really good at it, and part of the thing that came out this week is that Sony and Marvel are still negotiating, so I think it's at a Benedict Cumberbatch level. I think it's like, how much money, how much creative control, who gets the rights to the figures, who gets the merchandise. I think they're at that level. But Marvel has said under no conditions do they want Andrew Garfield. And I don't think it's a reflection on his performance.
I think they don't want to confuse studio audiences.
They don't want audiences to think that those movies count. I think they just want them buried and gone.
And a new Spider-Man to come in.
Like the Ben Affleck Daredevil. You know, when we get Daredevil on Netflix, there's going to be no connection to that movie.
Totally. But that movie's so long ago. I think the problem is, then you run into, is like, all right, now we got to reboot Spider-Man. If they do the fucking origin and kill Ben Parker,
they said
I'm going to... They better not, because Jesus Christ.
Yeah. They said Marvel thinks it's been done enough.
Yeah.
We'll just have Spider-Man. Think? But the rumor was... The plan, which they said right now is not happening, but the plan was to introduce Spider-Man in Civil War because he has a major part in Civil War.
Yeah,
a lot of these characters have such big parts in the comics. It's like you don't know which way they're going to go because of the rights. The rights are everything to these studios.
Yeah,
right.
And you never know. Like, this is Civil War, but in Civil War, I remember when he got that Iron Man armor, that Spider armor.
Right,
that was awesome.
Yeah,
but we'll probably never see that unless
they get the rights to it. I doubt we would, because you have to introduce Spider-Man in this movie.
Exactly.
And that's the thing, when they first announced Civil War, Steven, you hated the idea because you were like, well, it's just Captain America and Iron Man. Who cares? You can't have everybody.
Yeah.
It's sounding bigger and bigger and bigger. If Black Panther is in it, if we're already introduced Doctor Strange.
They did say Black Panther is confirmed for Captain America Civil War. So it's like, yeah, you're right. Maybe they will just use, like you said, two different Avengers teams, and maybe that's the Civil Wars. Tony's got his Avengers. Cap's got his Avengers. They disagree.
Maybe a lot of them. The middle. And maybe Thanos kills a lot of them. And then you're left with one team.
Because Civil Wars before... Infinity War. Mm-hmm. It's the first movie after Avengers. So Avengers breaks the team. Avengers 2 breaks the team. Two different teams. Civil War, they fight. Mm-hmm. Then they have to come together because that's the only way they'll be able to defeat Thanos is with all of the Avengers.
And don't forget, we have a third Thor in there. We have a Ms. Marvel. Yeah. We have a Inhumans. Black Panther. All of those.
When does the Inhumans come out? Before or after Infinity War? Do you guys remember?
It's at the end, but I think it might... I don't care. It's 2018.
Okay, so
It's
after the first part of Infinity War, but in between part two. So we might get the Inhumans in Infinity War 2.
Right. And as I said, we've already introduced the idea of the Inhumans in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. How built up will they be? It's possible.
That show is, I am not watching it religiously. I don't care to watch it religiously. I'll only probably ever watch it on Netflix. But it is a brilliant tool for Marvel to start seeding all these things in advance, right? Mm-hmm. To lead up to Captain America, to show all this underground stuff with Hydra taking over S.H.I.E.L.D. with the traitor and all that stuff from the first season. To do all this Inhuman stuff now, so whoever is still watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is a sizable part of the population, will know who these characters are before we get started with that movie.
Right. Yeah, because we could be at the point where... Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. could be about the Inhumans, because you know what? Now you have a major character who's an Inhuman. And obviously we've left the original premise was, oh, these are the guys that don't have superpowers that do the cleanup after the big movies. Because now one of them is an Inhuman, and Mockingbird has been on it for half a season.
Yeah.
And,
how is she on the show? Are you watching?
I'd love to see Mockingbird come into the Avengers.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, she. It's possible that Adrian Palicki shows up. I mean, Cobie Smulders has bounced back and forth.
That's true.
And Samuel L. Jackson, they both appeared on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And seriously, like, Marvel at this point could be like, oh, after Infinity War, we don't really know where to go with Avengers. Let's do New Avengers and West Coast Avengers. Now there's two different Avengers movies starting, and Hawkeye, Mockingbird go out to the West Coast. Mm-hmm. The other team stays in New York, and it's just like
there's so many threats now that we need to spread out our Avengers team.
All they could justify having two different rosters.
Yep. They could do the Initiative.
Yeah, oh, I mean, they could do anything, and that's what's so cool crazy. About it is like Marvel's figuring out a way to kind of make all this stuff happen, even though they're handicapped with the X-Men. But if you think about it, X-Men comics are always kind of separate from what's happening in the main Marvel universe.
Yeah, they're almost their own universe.
Right, they have their own crossover every year that really doesn't have anything to do with anybody else other than the mutants. So it's like it actually is kind of like, publication-wise, it kind of mirrors the universe, right? You know, Spider-Man's really only loose canon where it's like, once they get Spider-Man back, and then if they can figure out how to get the Fantastic Four back, they don't really need the X-Men.
Yeah, I would agree to that.
The X-Men movies are doing so well, Fox is never going to give those
rights. And I think what they would want to do, and I think if this works, where they get Spider-Man, and I think Spider-Man's what they really need, because, number one, he is the crown jewel in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Number two, Marvel would fix those Spider-Man movies like that.
Oh, yeah. You know, like, you figure a Marvel-pushed Spider-Man movie would be the Spider-Man movie, would be the version of that 2001 or 2 that Tobey Maguire, that first one, did great. I think we were all really impressed with that when it came out. Now, superhero movies have matured a little bit, so it's kind of silly.
Mm-hmm.
I think this would be like Iron Man 1. We would get that perfect Spider-Man movie where, like, everything is just nailed. They just figure everything out.
And you know they already have the Kingpin? Yeah. So you could, I mean, I love just thinking about the idea of what villains would they use and who would they use, because you know they would nail it.
Yeah.
So you have that, but then you also have that Spider-Man knows everybody in the Marvel Universe and is an Avenger. He was also a member of the Fantastic Four. I mean, Spider-Man.
Yep.
Spider-Man is in every corner of the Marvel Universe.
Marvel, this last Wednesday, just launched a Spider-Man and X-Men team-up book, because why not?
Right.
So it's like he always sells. He's like the everyman.
He's Batman.
Right. Yeah. He's Batman. He could team up with anybody.
Yeah.
You know, but
I think they really want that, but I could see them, if this works, if you get Spider-Man in there, and then, oh, all of a sudden, here's a new Spider-Man trilogy in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
And now we're up to, like, 2019, 2020. We're past Phase 2. I could see them not wanting to get back the X-Men, but trying to license Wolverine back.
Right. So you figure if it's Sony, they can figure out with Sony how to license Spider-Man. They'll figure out, all right, here's the template, Fox. We want Wolverine. Keep Cyclops and all the other guys. Just give us Wolverine for one Avengers movie. And then they'll be like, all right, yeah, sure.
Yeah, and then it's the argument of, you know, do you still use Hugh Jackman or do you have somebody new as Wolverine? I mean, we have two Quicksilvers and people are accepting it.
Yeah.
But then again, Hugh Jackman is a major movie star because he's Wolverine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like the same way Robert Downey
Jr. He sang about it at the fucking Oscars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like,
I mean, he's the Fox equivalent of Robert Downey Jr. It's like, we made this guy. This guy has remained A-list in other movies he's made because of the Marvel part he plays.
Yeah, I mean, name one movie Wolverine or Hugh Jackman was in before X-Men 1.
Nothing. He was unknown.
Yeah, exactly.
I can name a bunch he's done in between.
Since then, yeah. He got, like, Swordfish after that, and he just kept kind of building.
He's in Les Mis, he did Kate and Leopold. He's in a lot of stuff.
That Christopher Nolan one with the magicians he did.
Prestige. You know what's weird about the Spider-Man thing is that you're hearing all the news coming out of, like, Marvel Studios, Fox, Sony, and DC's launching a bunch of new movie titles, but you haven't really heard any casting news about the Sinister Six movie.
Yeah.
All the rumors have kind of died down about everything that was supposed to happen after Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
Because Spider-Man 2 bombed. And what are the rumors we're hearing now is that Andrew Garfield's out.
In fact, there was
a rumor a couple weeks ago before we heard about all this stuff that Spider-Man and Sinister Six might not even be Andrew Garfield, and that's going to be a Sony movie. That's the only one that's greenlit. It sounds like the Venom movie's not happening. It sounds like Spider-Man 3 is not happening.
There was that female-led Spider-Man. Remember they were going to do
Well, that was another thing. They wanted to do Spider-Girl, and they wanted to do, like, Aunt May Young Spy, and they said Marvel was like, you're not doing those. Like, Marvel was...
Stop it.
Marvel was like...
Cool down, guys.
they pretty much wrapped up a newspaper and whapped Sony on the nose with it. No.
You'll never do these movies.
Never.
I feel like there was a board meeting where they were like, so here's what we're working on. And then just the Marvel just went... How much will it take to get Spider-Man back? Maybe Sony's just making this up. Because they're like, Marvel will take 40%. Get him down to 30. Aunt May, super spy!
Right?
We're going to make it! Oh my God. Unless you pay us 40%! To not make this terrible movie.
Oh, yeah, and then DC goes and announces that Suicide Squad movie.
That's another big news story.
Where it just comes out and they're like, oh, Harley Quinn, the Joker, Deadshot, all these other guys. It's
Captain
like...
Captain Boomerang.
Yeah, who kept that under wraps for how long? Jesus.
Yeah, that was in... Well, that was one of those things that was in that their 10-movie announcement.
Yeah.
And everybody went, okay. And at the time, I said, well, that animated movie was great.
Yeah, and you know what? And I bet you that animated movie was like a kind of a primer. It's like, all right, let's test it out, see what happens. If it sells well or does well, then we'll greenlight this live action.
And it sold well because they called it Batman.
Yeah, you know,
Batman's in it for about 18 minutes, but it is a great movie.
Yeah.
And it shows how that movie would work. But the interesting thing about it is they're saying Will Smith is playing Deadshot. I'm not quite sure which way I feel about that. But the most interesting news is that they're saying Jared Leto is Joker. And yeah. I'm like, all right, he's a guy who, you know, he's kind of under my radar. I mean, I think of him as in Fight Club. I know he's done a lot
yeah,
of stuff.
Yeah, I saw him as a dude in Fight Club, but then he's got like a band or something.
Yeah, he's got a band 30 Seconds to Mars, which I saw at a festival and they were horrible. But that started my wheels turning because everybody's getting excited about it the same way they're getting excited about Ben Affleck. And with Ben Affleck, I'm like, yeah, but you know, it's just this movie and maybe Justice League. They're not announcing another Batman movie with Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Like, they're not doing another trilogy with the way they did with Christian Bale. So I'm like, it could be like a one-off.
If Justice League probably won't bomb, but if it does bomb, because they haven't announced the Superman sequel. This Man of Steel isn't a Superman sequel. It's a Justice League movie, right? So they haven't announced any other Man of Steel movies. They haven't announced any Batman movies.
No, they're saying they're waiting to see how Batman vs. Superman do.
Right.
I'm sure Justice League is going to happen one way or the other because it's Warner Brothers
Adventures.
They don't
have a choice, yeah.
Yeah, to the point, you know, we talked about this where they're like they have a different guy as the Flash, even though the Flash TV show just started and it's a huge hit.
Yeah,
which just seems crazy to me.
That's a huge mistake.
You know, they could be doing what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is doing, and they could be building up Flash's rogues gallery. And then when you see Reverse Flash or Captain Boomerang,
Captain Boomerang,
yeah, you could. They've had a Captain Boomerang on the show. He could have been your connection into Suicide Squad, and you could have gotten all the Flash fans to go, oh, yeah, I saw that guy on that show.
Yeah.
And instead, we're going to have another Captain Boomerang because he's in the Suicide Squad.
This is the problem I always had, was it's like they're doing so much backtracking. You know, we said it on the show before, you know, if they wanted to catch up to Marvel, when the Avengers movie came out, they could have just said, all right, get Christian Bale, get a guy to play Superman or Brandon Routh just to stop recasting people, get Ryan Reynolds to do Green Lantern, get the guy from Arrow, cast the dude as the Flash. You got five members. You're ready to go. Grab some chick as Wonder Woman. There's your Justice League. You could have...
Just some chick.
Anyone. Well, that's pretty much what they did. They grabbed some girl no one's ever heard of.
That's
she's
right.
Beautiful, but it's like, who the fuck has ever heard of that girl? And it's just like, you know...
And she's getting her own movie.
Right. Yep. But you could say the same thing about like Chris Hemsworth, right? He was a nobody. They put him in Thor.
He was
now
beautiful.
I climb him like a tree, to quote Tina.
I love the story of Chris Hemsworth is that Joss Whedon found him because he's in Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
And when they were talking to Whedon about Avengers, he said, okay, well, you got a Thor movie. Who's your Thor? And they're like, we haven't found him yet. He was like, well, I did.
I accidentally found him.
Yeah. I accidentally found a 7-foot-tall blonde man.
Australian man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's carved out of wood.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. So he was a nobody, and now he's starring in movies left and right. He's like a big movie star. He's on the cover of magazines and stuff. They like made that dude's career with this character.
Mm-hmm. And now he's in other movies that are doing well.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, Thor's not doing well as obviously Captain America or Iron Man because it's like a trickier thing.
But
I think
it does well.
But it does well enough to where they're going to make three of them. He's always going to be in Avengers. Yep. Like,
and Tom Hiddleston has been such a breakout character as Loki.
I know.
You know that's the place you're going to see him again.
He's in Avengers 2.
Yeah, him and Idris Elba spoiled
they're in it, and it's probably going to be like flashbacks or something, or scenes in Asgard or something, but it's like it's kind of crazy.
Or like one scene. I mean,
right.
They could be in it the way Kobe Smulders is in Winter Soldier.
Right.
You know, you can have these people in for a scene, and you know, it's not
figure
that big
it takes
a deal.
Them a weekend or a week to film it, you know, or whatever, or maybe another week for reshoots, and then these guys can go on and do other things.
Right. You know, how long is Samuel Jackson in Iron Man 2?
Right. 10 minutes. You know?
But so the thing about Jared Leto as Joker, going back to that, is that Joker is a character that I could very easily see existing past this movie. Whereas even Ben Affleck, I'm like, all right, I'll be in Justice League and maybe we'll recast Batman. But Jared Leto, it's like Joker could kind of almost be in anything because he's super popular.
That's, my question would be, is the Suicide Squad in the same continuity as
the Justice League? Yes, the movies are going to be in, the movies are all one continuity.
Okay. What makes so it, starting with Man of Steel, going forward, all the DC movies is a shared universe, but yeah, the TV Nolan, shows are all separate.
Yes.
And the Nolan is a past
The Nolan is done. Thing. The Nolan is like Tim Burton now. It's closed, it's gone.
Okay.
And in fact, Christian Bale said in an interview very recently that he was never approached for a Batman versus Superman.
Oh, wow.
Because he said he kind of felt a little bad.
I read the article. Did you hear what Michael Keaton said? They asked him the same thing.
He's like, I am Batman. I don't care.
Batman. Yeah. It's just like, good for you, Michael Keaton.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing about Michael Keaton. I got the Nika figure, which was a big deal. Michael Keaton Batman figure, which NECA made a 2-foot-tall Michael Keaton Batman that everybody loved. So they wanted to make a 6-7-inch version like their Aliens and Predator figures. They couldn't do it because Mattel did it. So they painted him purple and blue. And they put him out
like in the video game.
Yeah, they put him out as a video game and they snuck him out that way.
Yeah.
That did well. So then they did one in the regular colors, but the only way you can get him
is to buy the
Blu-ray. Is a Toys R Us exclusive. If you buy the Blu-ray, he comes with the Blu-ray. However, that costs you what the figure would cost by himself. So really, you're buying the figure and getting the Blu-ray
for free.
Yeah, of a movie
everyone owns.
Yeah, because you know what? If you're buying the Michael Keaton Batman figure, you have the movie.
Right. Yeah. No one's purchasing that figure and being like, oh, I don't have that movie on DVD.
The only way I could see it is if you still have the DVD and you don't have the Blu-ray yet.
Right. Yeah, it's the only way you upgrade. Yeah.
But the Blu-ray contains a new documentary, which was like a half an hour. So I was like, oh, I feel like this is something. And it was really interesting. It was about the marketing of it, about like how they got the bat symbol on everything and kind of how that changed movies.
Yeah.
And they're pretty honest in it because they're even like, yeah, you know, this movie's not that great. Yeah. They're like, but it was a big movie.
But it was huge, yeah.
Yeah, and Michael Keaton's in it. And he's interviewed, which was interesting because when they did the DVDs, Michael Keaton is not on any of those, and Jack Nicholson is.
Yeah.
So it's not even a matter of like, yeah, we don't have the money to talk to them. Like, he did not want to talk about Batman, and now that he's made Birdman, and he's a little, I think he's a little more ready to talk about it. And I also think it's like, now that the Nolan movies have been out and Christian Bale's out, I think like being Batman now is like being James Bond.
Yeah, all right, I was Batman.
Yeah, or being Doctor Who.
Yeah.
It's like, I have this term. And then I'm always remembered as that, but now I can go and do other things. Where I think years before, he was like, he didn't want to be Christopher Reeve.
Yeah. But, and it's interesting, too. Michael Keaton's how old?
I'd say he's got to be in his 60s by now.
How crazy would it have been if they had cast him as Batman in the Superman vs. Batman movie to go for that, like, Dark Knight Returns?
I would have been so much more excited to see it.
You really would have, right?
Ben Affleck?
But,
yeah.
Like, Michael Keaton's
because he would have
like,
been Batman Beyond Kingdom Come Batman.
That's what I'm saying. He would have been Dark Knight Returns Batman.
Yeah, because he's a good 15, 20 years older than Ben Affleck.
Yep. He'd be old, get him in shape, he's grizzled, he's a little short, so just film
it. Batman armor.
Right, give him armor.
Well, he already had rubber body armor.
No,
now
that's what
it's
saying.
Like now it's like you a know, big
now it'd be like suit. A big suit. It's like that would have been fucking crazy. And then you would have to be like, is this in the Tim Burton continuity? Like how crazy would that have been?
No, I'm excited.
Well, it doesn't exist, John, so bring your like excitement level back down.
I know.
Jared Leto is Joker, but
do we honestly believe that the Joker won't be in Justice League? I mean, I feel like one of these movies is going to be an Injustice Gang.
Yeah.
Because we know Jesse Eisenberg is going to be Luthor. And
I guess they're talking to him
back.
To be in Suicide Squad, I heard.
If not as a main character, as a cameo in Suicide Squad.
Right. I could see him being behind the scenes. Maybe he puts the team together and sends them out. I don't think he's going to be running around in battle armor.
This will come out after Justice League, right?
No. This is the first movie after Batman vs. Superman.
Suicide Squad's going to come before Superman Batman?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Before Superman vs. Batman.
No, it's going to come after Superman vs. Batman.
But before Justice League.
Yes.
See, here's what'll happen.
That's why we're hearing so much about it, because it's the next in line.
After. So here's what'll happen. Superman, Batman, Batman, Superman, fight Lex Luthor in battle armor, whatever, beat Luthor, Luthor's going to be pissed off. Then he's going to say, hey, I'm going to get a group of your villains together, they're going to run missions for me, and then I'm going to have them fight you. And he's going to track down the Joker. Now, what we have to do...
Now, that gets out of control, and then Batman vs. Superman, who are probably friends by the end of their movie, goes,
right.
if this is happening, we need to be a force of that. We need a team to
stop it. Well, they'll probably do Darkseid too, I figure. But
it's really risky to do that though, because it's such a realistic universe. Could you imagine a Darkseid figure in this realistic? Even the Suicide Squad.
You already have General Zod though.
Yeah, but Zod looks like a regular dude. Darkseid's made out of stone.
Yeah, he's a big stone.
Depends on how you design it.
Demons. We were just talking about
the other danger of doing Darkseid, which is ironic considering the comics, is that he will be seen as a ripoff of Thanos,
who is a character created 2 years before Thanos, I believe, by the same dude. No, Kirby and then Starlin.
No, it's Starlin. It's Starlin. Starlin was. Has admitted that Thanos was his Marvel version of Darkseid. The crazy thing is then he goes to DC and creates Mongol, which is his DC version of Thanos, which is the Marvel version of Darkseid. And it's like, you couldn't just use Darkseid.
Jim Starlin likes one type of villain.
he likes a cosmic, giant, ugly man.
Yes, which is delicious. But yeah, so then they're going to get all the comparisons or whatever. But then do we get then flashbacks to who's the Joker, right? If Batman has already been Batman for years in the Superman vs. Batman movie.
They're saying that Ben Affleck will have been Batman for like 17 years.
Yeah, he will have been experienced Batman.
I think it's kind of going to be like the Ang Lee to Ed Norton Hulk, where... I was watching that again recently, and it's like, if you want to think it's a sequel to the Ang Lee Hulk, you kind of can. Like, they don't do anything that breaks the continuity between those two. And again, you know, if you want to not believe that Mark Ruffalo is Ed Norton, you can do that as well.
Right.
But I think they're going to do that, where it's kind of a sequel, but kind of not.
Yeah, which is going to be interesting, like I said, because then they're going to have to explain, all right, look, this guy's the Joker. He's been the Joker for years. Mm-hmm. He's fought Batman a bunch of times.
And here's the other thing. I mean, we're saying the Nolan universe is closed, but if the Nolan universe was Batman's early years, and we say after Dark Knight Rises, he's in Europe with Catwoman for a year or two, knowing Bruce Wayne as we do, and that was one of my problems with Dark Knight Rises, like, why would he just quit and quit twice?
Yeah.
But wouldn't he just go, no, I got to be Batman again, and then he comes back, and he's Ben Affleck. They're not going to say that explicitly, but remember, Heath Ledger is alive. In the Nolan universe. They didn't kill him the way they killed Jack.
Yeah, so then maybe they're all playing the same characters.
So maybe Jared Leto is Heath Ledger a little down the road.
And Ben Affleck is Christian Bale a little down the road.
And I would not be surprised in Suicide Squad if there's a mention that he's already fought Batman. I don't think we're going to see an origin of the Joker in Suicide Squad.
No, we shouldn't see an origin of any of those characters other than like a couple lines to explain who they are. And right. This is Harley Quinn. She's the Joker's girlfriend. She's been around for a few years. He's been around a little longer. She was his nurse in Arkham, and then he turned her crazy. You know, it's like...
Right.
It's
be I would hope it's explained in dialogue and not a lot of flashbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, what I think you're going to see for the Suicide Squad movie is that this is an experienced Batman. Arkham exists. Arkham is full of prisoners.
Yeah.
Lex just losing at the end of Batman Superman, supposedly if he loses, he'll be like, oh, well...
I don't think he's going to win, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know...
I don't think Batman vs. Superman and with Jesse Eisenberg going, I'm Lex Luthor! Hooray for me!
But if he's not the big threat, maybe the big threat.
He'll start
pew, 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 pew!
He's like, got a little cannon.
Like, no, I know Bruce, he's just making that noise.
Oh,
because he's Jesse Eisenberg. He's not very scary,
right? Yes,
he's not very scary. True. But I'll be like, hey, Bruce, I thought we were working together to fight Superman. I'm gonna take a step back and be like, you know what? If Superman's not my focus, I'm gonna give Batman all these different characters to fight off against.
Right.
So I'm gonna look in Arkham and see who he's put in Arkham, and they're gonna go under my control now, and I'm gonna let loose Arkham and all these random villains.
Yeah.
Instead of them being random, and they're gonna that's be an extra form of
this
villain.
Team.
Because remember, in the comics, there's a lot of great Lex Luthor versus Bruce Wayne stories.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, No Man's Land, Lex Luthor is a major player in that, which leads into Bruce Wayne Fugitive, which is not a great story, but Lex Luthor is a major player.
Right, we figure Lex Luthor isn't the opposite of Superman. He's the opposite of Batman.
Yeah, because he's an evil billionaire.
Right, who killed his parents to get their money.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Well, he cut the brake lines or whatever, depending on what fucking continuity DC's going
See,
by.
I belong to the continuity where Superboy accidentally blew Lex's hair off, and that's why he's evil.
Yeah, I did the whole...
that's one of my favorite origins ever.
Rex
you
their,
blew my hair off.
Well, because he blew all those chemicals into his face.
Yeah.
Which is interesting that it didn't scar
great,
in the tournament of the
one
Joker.
Of the Super Friends, they reenact
that's how I remember
that,
the Super Friends episode.
But that's a long time to be mad because you're bald.
Yeah, but he's been bald since he was like a kid, so maybe he's
even
been
Larry David's not that mad about being bald.
Yeah, but was Larry David ridiculed like Lex Luthor? Did he have the money?
Oh, he definitely was.
Did he
yes,
have the money
was.
To do anything about it, or did he just be like get a, become an angry comic?
No, Larry David definitely had a lot of years of, what, I'm trying to eat lunch, what?
Yeah.
Seventh grade!
But he got angry, and he, but he didn't have the kind of money. If he had the kind of money, Larry David would be Lex Luthor. Yeah, that's the difference.
But he had the kind of money Mike Lawrence has, so he became Mike Lawrence in the 70s.
Right.
So yeah, so I think Jared Leto being the Joker really opens the door to a wider DC universe, even more than Ben Affleck as Batman does. Because yeah. I feel like the Joker has a fluidity where he can move around.
And you know, you're not going to get an origin story for any of those characters in Suicide Squad. You're not going to get their standalone movies.
I hope we don't get an origin for anybody. Even
well, if you think about it, in the
Man of Steel, we had
Dark Knight. We didn't get an origin for Joker.
Man of Steel, we did, and Batman Begins was an origin.
Yeah, but as I'm saying, Joker just shows up in Dark Knight. You don't get an origin for him. He just shows up, causes havoc, and disappears.
And that's the most interesting thing about the Joker. As good as the Killing Joke is with the Red Hood, it's I like having Joker just be this mysterious form of chaos.
Yeah.
But I feel like there was one more. There was like another crazy
announcement.
There was just so many announcements. You can't keep up with them.
Yeah.
There's the Morgan Freeman. And
That's right. Yeah. Al Pacino.
Yeah, Al Pacino, there you go. Yeah, either Al Pacino or Morgan Freeman are going to be like training Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, well, I guess what I had heard was that Al Pacino had said on Twitter in an interview or something, he's like, oh, I saw Guardians of the Galaxy and I loved it. And then like the following week, there was rumors that he was talking to Marvel. So it could be just rumors. But the rumor I've heard that the prevailing theory is that he's going to play Star-Lord's dad. Who all the...
Ooh.
Yeah, imagine that, right? So Star-Lord's dad...
Which James Gunn has pretty much said... And I was
listening to the sequel.
And yeah, and I was listening to the commentary on Guardians of the Galaxy. He pretty much said he's not going to follow the comics.
Oh, okay, so he won't be like, the king of the Spartax Empire or whatever?
No, because he mentions in it, like, at the end when they mention it, he's like, yeah, his father in the comics is this guy Jason, and he's king of the Spartax. He's like, I'm not crazy about that, so we might do something different.
Yeah.
But if Marvel says, this is what you're going to do.
Yeah, he's going to have to play ball.
As we know with Edgar Wright, eventually there comes a point where they're like, do it or leave.
Right.
And that was another thing.
Didn't Edgar Wright get rumored to direct something else with... Oh, Edgar Wright's going to do the next Star Trek movie.
Yeah, there's talk about that.
So you know Simon Pegg will get a bigger role in that.
And there's
pals.
A petition for Jonathan Frakes to do it, which I think...
I think that's awesome.
I think it's awesome, too, and I posted it on the Facebook page, and I was like, this is never going to happen. But then when I thought about it, I was like, Roberto Orsi has never directed anything, and they were going to give it to him because he wrote the first two.
Right.
And Leonard Nimoy has been in both of them.
Yeah,
so it's not
weirder things have happened.
It's not so much like, this is our reboot, stay away from us, other versions of Star Trek. I think that'd be cool. The thing he has going against him is that he's only done a couple of features. The problem with Franks was he did First Contact, which is awesome. I've been trying to get you to watch that for 3 years. One of the best. It's the Wrath of Khan of the Next Generation. It's a great, great movie. But then the next movie, Insurrection, not that great.
Yeah.
And then they were like, maybe you're not that good. And then he did a couple of kids' movies, and he's mostly known for television. He directs a lot of Castle.
Yeah.
So he does, like, weekly drama stuff. But then the guys
from Community had only ever done Community, and then they
That's true.
They did
the guy who
America.
Did Thor Dark World had only done Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But, you know, then again, Marvel's cheap.
Right.
So that's why they like these guys.
Well, it's smart, and that's what it's saying. They'll be able to make... Well, that's a Star Trek, so it's not, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy. But back to what's his name is, you know, so Al Pacino, there's all kinds of rumors that he's going to be Star-Lord's dad. They're talking he might be Mephisto, that he might be like any of these Doctor Strange villains, like Mordo. Like, I doubt they'll make him a Doctor Strange villain.
I would love to see Al Pacino as Mordo.
Well, the only reason I don't like him as Mordo is because then he's got like 40 years on Benedict Cumberbatch, right?
I don't care.
Well, that's what I'm saying is make him like a crazier villain. Mordo, you could get anybody. I would make him like Mephisto.
These are magic characters.
Dormammu.
The physicality doesn't really matter so much for the magic.
But I think you lose a little bit of like Mordo was the same age as Doctor Strange. They were both competing for the Sorcerer Supreme role. Mordo lost and he got pissed off about it.
Yeah, but you know what? Obadiah Stane the comics was
That's
about
true.
Tony's age, and making him Jeff Bridges
was
one of
brilliant.
The
yeah
was brilliant. So I would love to see him with like those crazy Ditko collars and a cape going like, I'm gonna kill you, Doctor Strange,
right?
By the power of Agamotto.
It'd be awesome.
Come on.
So now they're always talking to Morgan Freeman about playing the Ancient One, and there's a few more names thrown
around. The guy who's in Inception as the old
Michael
Chinese
Caine?
Guy?
Ken Watanabe. Yeah. Which actually, he'd be pretty
perfect. Yeah, two Nolan guys. Yeah. Morgan Freeman's Lucius Fox.
And you know perfect. What's crazy, just to sit back and think about it? All of these big-time actors are becoming actors for superhero movies.
Yeah,
figure... Well, that's the big thing. I mean,
remember when they were talking about doing Spider-Man... John Malkovich was going to be the Green Goblin. And he said, this is ridiculous. Superhero movies are lame. I'm not going to do this. And then 5 years later, they were like, all right, we're going to make Spider-Man 3. We want to use the Vulture. And then the same guy, Malkovich was like, I want to do it now. Because he missed out on doing
that was going to be Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 4.
Right.
John Malkovich is the Vulture.
Yep, which would have been phenomenal. Iron Man came out, remade that guy's career. All the Marvel movies started.
I remember Gwyneth Paltrow had taken a couple of years off to like have her kids.
Yeah,
and she said that was the movie she wanted to get back into because she knew people were going to see it.
Yeah, which is and that's awesome. The thing.
I was reading an interview with Chris Rock this week, who has like an indie movie coming out.
Yeah,
and he's really interesting article because he talks a lot about the business. But one of the things he says, he's like, oh, you know, I don't get, you know, there's a lot of parts you don't get, you know, he was talking about like being black in Hollywood. He's like, there's certain things they don't think of you for. He's like, obviously if Marvel called, I'd be up for doing that. And when I read that, I was like, yeah, Marvel's the big player in town. It's not about,
it's
not about us. It's not about, hey, comic fans are getting what they really wanted. It's about Marvel is the biggest thing in Hollywood. So you have Glenn Close.
We're talking, nine movies and they haven't had a bomb yet?
No, and you have Glenn Close and John C. Reilly in Guardians of the Galaxy for like five minutes each.
But they're there.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and it's like Glenn Close is like names on the poster.
The greatest thing in the world.
This week. Lately I have to go with the Batman figures that DC has been putting out because they've been between, DC Collectibles doing Little Gotham, the Greg Capullo Artist Editions, and now the Bruce Timm animated figures.
Which are all awesome figures because they're based on the exact designs from either the comics or the TV shows, which is awesome.
And just the way the release schedules got screwed up, there have been Batman figures
every week.
Yeah,
for the past four weeks.
Yeah, I've been coming in Chimeras every week, and there are figures with a post-it with my name on it.
Yeah,
and I'm a little fatigued because
and it starts to hurt the bank.
I keep bringing up like $50 every week,
right?
But they're a whole really great. I just finished the first series of the Bruce Timm figures, and I'm a huge fan of the animated series. And back in the 90s, when I was in my 20s and trying to get laid, and trying to have like a cool looking bedroom, it was fairly clean, except my dresser, had the Kenner Batcave and all of the animated
things,
like Batman, Robin, and all the villains. And that was my, that was the peak of my action figure collecting.
Yeah.
Was that line. And then as the years went on, that plastic started to break down and they started to yellow and they started to get sticky and tacky. And I ended up selling most of them on eBay. I ended up getting screwed on eBay once because like somebody said, oh, they didn't show up and like never paid me.
Yeah.
So I lost them. So I feel like I lost those figures. And every now and then I see them, like Real Art and Burt One has a bin bunch of them
somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. I run across them. I was in me and my dad's toys out in Kane County and they had the two pack of Batman and Joker on the card and for $8. So I have that hanging in my at my desk at work. And I always thought about going back, and then I was like, well, where do I stop? Because there's Batman Beyond, there's Superman the Animated Series.
Yeah, the Justice League figures.
And the big thing is, like, they're not in scale with anything anymore. Because back in the 90s, everything was 5 inches. Yep. Now it's 6, 7, or 3 3/4. So then DC says, we're going to do the Bruce Timm figures. And they not only they look way better than the old Kenner figures did.
They're poseable.
They're really poseable.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't believe how, you know, if you know those designs, they're clean lines. You can't hide the cuts in the sculpt very easily.
Yeah.
But then they managed to make these things ultra poseable. And they're doing both series. They're doing like two versions of everybody. They just announced this week series 4, which has the first version of Batman, because we have the second version
with
already.
The yellow symbol.
Batgirl, Riddler, and the first Penguin.
Yeah.
It's like they're just going to keep going and going, and I'll buy like 50, 60 of them.
Yeah, I was really impressed. I can't do action figures anymore. I don't have the money or the room.
Well, you do HeroClix. I feel like that's where.
Yeah, and those are really tiny, so those are easy to collect.
But they're adding up.
Like, they are, especially there's an Avengers set.
I imagine you spend the same on HeroClix that I spend on.
No, only because I limited from getting HeroClix to just Avengers now. So it's like, but there's an Avengers set coming out next year. I'm going to probably have to drop like $200 because I'm a lunatic. But
HeroClix heard you.
These figures, the Two-Face especially, is like, to me, it's like, this is the Two-Face figure would be like the action figure of the year because he came with a Tommy gun. He came with canisters of chemicals that he had that was a specific to a certain episode. He had like a handgun, three or four hands with two different coins. He had a gas mask, a hat. He had everything you could want with this figure. It was unbelievable.
There's two canisters and a bag, and you can actually open the bag and the canisters... You can
fit
store
in the bag.
Yeah.
Which is insane. I remember that episode.
His coin is sculpted into his palm.
Yep.
But he comes with a watch that's like a black and white watch. They're insane. The one thing I have heard about them, so I've been extra careful, is that they say they break very easily. And
they look like they break very easily.
Look at those feet.
Yeah, he's got these tiny little Bruce Timm feet. It's like he couldn't even stand on
them. And that's something I know. I've collected DC Direct figures since they started. They do break easy. You know, I've had Jim Lee Hush figures where the pins that hold the joints together are notoriously brittle, where like I've had figures I pulled out of the drawer a couple of years ago and like their forearm drops off. So I'm being extra careful with them. Any joint that looks a little stuck that feels like I might break it, I run it under boiling water, which is another good reason that I own a Keurig, that in this show. But I'm loving them. And then this week I got the Michael Keaton Batman figure, which is a Toys R Us exclusive if you buy the Blu-ray again, which I bought the Blu-ray again. And he looks incredible.
He's exact.
Look at those little dainty toes.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, that's crazy.
He's dead. I'm holding it up, so.
Yeah, you guys can't see it out there, but we're looking at it.
But it's just
close your eyes and we'll describe it.
And Michael Keaton was the big hole because I was looking at my figure. In the last few years, we've gotten Christian Bale.
Oh, wow.
We've gotten Adam West. Now we have Bruce Timm in that version. And Beware the Batman, the Cartoon Network show that came and went, even had the figure.
Yeah.
So I now have, unless you count the serials, I have pretty much every.
Honestly, that'll probably be like version. In 5 years, they'll do those serial Batmans.
They probably will. And
the only thing they haven't
done. And honestly, I'm thinking about going back and getting the old Super Friends figures because that's a design I don't
have.
That's
true.
But it's Batman's 75th anniversary, and it's been a great time to be a Batman collector.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Nick?
My greatest thing in the world would be the Infinity Gauntlet, not just in the movies. Like, I think I was one of the only people that I saw Thor with that when they showed that Odin's Vault. Actually, is like, oh my god, that's the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah,
and everyone's like, wait, what? My girlfriend's like, shut up. And I'm like, oh, no, hold that. You don't realize that's the Infinity Gauntlet. Yeah. That is
they're actually gonna do it in the movies.
Yep, it's gonna come to the movies. My favorite villain is Thanos, and he is the iconic villain when he's holding that Infinity Gauntlet. It has all the stones, all the gems that are.
Yeah, I wonder
in the
how they're gonna explain that in Infinity War that they already had the gauntlet in Thor 1.
In Thor 1,
I don't think they will.
I think they'll be like, no one saw it.
Yeah,
like,
I think no one saw it, so they're gonna ignore it because I don't think they knew they were gonna do the Infinity Gauntlet.
Make it, change the design a little bit so it looks different.
A little bit bigger. But then this week, an Infinity Gauntlet bank came out. And all these little banks have been coming out comically. I mean, they hold about maybe like $1.50, $2.
Yeah.
This Thanos bank, I am filling it up every day.
You can pay for another Infinity Gauntlet bank.
Exactly. Right. I'm seeing how much I can fill it in. But whenever anything with the Infinity Gauntlet comes out, everyone's the first to look and say, Nick, you're going to buy that?
Yeah.
Like when Brolin came out for the Marvel announcement saying he's going to be Thanos, and he was holding that Hulk hand Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah.
I was like, where can I get that? Where am I going to get that?
Seriously.
And I went to, I think it was Wizards, and I saw one on there, because it comes with, six figures, I think, five or six figures. And I saw it, I'm like, what's the price on that?
That was a San Diego
exclusive. And I was like, oh, I got to get my hands on that. I'm like, what's the damage on that?
A lot.
And I'm not going to say the price out loud, but I will, I have it. It's sitting on my shelf. I put it on every now and then. I opened it right away.
Yep.
Walked around the convention with it.
Thanos is your
excited.
Guy.
Thanos is my favorite.
And we're going to get a big build of Thanos in Marvel Legends soon.
I know. don't tell my wallet that, and don't tell anyone that orders anything for me that. So, but yeah, my greatest thing in the world is definitely the Infinity Gauntlet, whether it's movies, toys, anything Infinity Gauntlet.
It's a good time to like the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, it's a really good time. They did, we got one at the store, and Stu said the same thing. He didn't find the one that Josh Brolin had at San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
So he bought the bank, and he's going to hollow it out and rip off the bottom so you actually could put it on. I mean, it's fist size, right? You put your,
I think just wait until you'll have to wait a few years, but when Infinity War comes out, Hasbro will absolutely repaint
totally.
The whole pants with
there'll
that.
Be cheap ones out, they'll be everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say I had the first one.
Right, there you go. You had the first one. The my favorite thing, the hipster Thanos.
Yeah. Right?
I like Thanos before he was cool.
Before he was cool. Before people knew who the hell he was.
Yep.
When he was just a stunt guy in Avengers. My favorite thing in the world is they finally. It's a big hole I haven't read in like past Avengers books. Is they put out two trades called Absolute Vision. And this is the Roger Stern run on Avengers where Star Fox joins the team.
Oh, is this the Epic Collection?
They're about the same size as the Epic Collection, but they're not. It's two different trades. It's just called Absolute Vision, and it's where it's basically Vision gets damaged in a fight because in John Byrne's Fantastic Four run, Annihilus takes over the Baxter Building and
that's a great story.
Creates this big force field. So the
and beats up Alicia.
Yeah, a blind girl. Ooh. Annihilus is a scumbag. And then, so the Fantastic Four are trapped in the negative zone in their book. And in the Avengers book, there's this like huge force field that they can't get through. So Vision tries to go through it, and he collapses on the other side. It shuts off his power. So he's out of the book for like, you know, 6 or 8, 9 issues or something. He's just like comatose. He's in like a coma. And it was really cool because this was around the time when like Avengers actually were like, hey, we have like a membership. We have to have so many members. Now Vision's inactive, so we have to put like Hawkeye in the team. This before Bendis and that knucklehead Hickman got in the book where they handed out Avengers memberships like Halloween candy.
I love how you turned on Hickman.
I did. Yeah, I definitely did after Infinity. But yeah, seriously, it's like everyone's a fucking Avenger now. They're just giving it, you know, those ID cards away to everybody. But it's a great story because then Star Fox just kind of shows up, and we've talked about Star Fox on the show before, and he's pretty much, hey guys, I like adventure, and I like being in, hanging out with you guys, and there's a lot of ladies on this team, so he pretty much just like talks himself into being an Avenger.
I feel like with that kind of pitch, he could have gotten into the Guardians of the Galaxy,
probably could have. So he's on the team, and then they're like, hey, our buddy Vision's unconscious. He's like, hey guys, I'm from Titan, the moon on of Saturn. We have a lot of technology there. I could pretty much plug Vision into like my iPod and get him working again. And they're like, yeah, great, do it. And so they plug him into this thing called Isaac, which is a supercomputer on Titan. And
the bartender on the Love Boat.
Right. And then the
out of sight.
And then Vision turns into like a lunatic and tries to take over like
is that
the
when
world.
He turns white and then the, fights everybody that, in West Coast Avengers?
Yeah, well, he sets up the West Coast Avengers because he's trying to like expand the Avengers. But it was just a really, really cool run to see kind of play out. And it's right in the middle of like Secret Wars, so I was getting up to the book and I didn't know this. And then it was the point where like that giant sphere appears in Central Park, yeah. And the Avengers disappear into it. And it's kind of a shame, Marvel, because I didn't read, obviously I was a fetus when Secret Wars came out. But what Marvel should have done, which would have been awesome, but I understand why they didn't do it, was when Secret War came out and all the heroes disappear, the other heroes in New York are kind of left shorthanded. And then they come back the next issue.
Yeah, it would have been nice if it was a few issues.
Well, what they should have done is kept the regular Marvel Universe dealing with the heroes not being there while the 12-issue Secret Wars book was running. So the Spider-Man book should have had somebody trying to fill in for Spider-Man, like Daredevil or somebody, and how they're, hey, now I've got to fight Rhino and Electro every week, which sucks because I'm used to fighting, like, hand ninjas
Bullseye.
Now I have to fight like a guy like who can knock a building over, and then the Avengers are like, hey, half the fucking Avengers, including Thor and Captain America and Iron Man, are in the Secret Wars. They're gone. We have to deal with, you know, Thanos now, and we don't have fucking Thor to help us, and just show how underhanded everybody is.
You know how they would have done it today? They would have gotten those 12 issues in the can.
Yeah.
They would have canceled the Marvel Universe and run that as a weekly.
Yeah.
They would have had just like Marvel would have just been Secret Wars for 12 weeks.
Right.
And everybody would have been gone for the whole time. And then they would have given everybody a new number one.
Yes. And that's I think it's a nice blend of what they should have done then and what they could do now. And maybe they will with this new Secret Wars project coming up in May.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but it would be nice to see them take a bunch of the characters out of the continuity and showing how secondary characters like Daredevil and, you know, any of the X-Men, because they're all secondary characters, and then, like, you know, these, like, second-level Avengers that aren't the A-list have to deal with the real threats that the Avengers would have dealt with.
There were a couple of issues where they did that. Yeah. Not many. The Fantastic Four issue was, like, Trapster. It's a great. It's in the John Byrne omnibus. It's Trapster breaking into the Baxter Building when no one's there.
Yeah.
But it's so full of, like, robots and automated defenses, he fails anyway.
Right.
And then I remember the Peter Parker issue was an all-Black Cat issue.
Yeah, because, like, there wasn't Spider-Man around.
Yeah, and she was a major character in just that book, but not in Amazing. In Amazing, first page, he's back.
Yeah, and that's what's kind of a shame about it. Like I said, I liked Secret Wars as its own title, but it's pretty much the characters were gone for, like, a day. And right. time just spent was just different.
Well, in the continuity was a week, and then but in the publishing schedule it was
instantaneous, and everyone was back, and they'd be like, "Yeah, Secret Wars. Let me tell you about it. It was crazy."
And that was the fun. It was the backstory of like there would be all these asterisks of like, "Well, what happened to me on Battleworld?" And it'd just be like, "You have to keep reading Secret Wars.
Check out Secret Wars next month. It comes out," and it's just like, "Ugh." So that was a little frustrating, but it was a great read, and it was. It's actually surprising how many comics from the 80s I actually would have been reading had I been reading them monthly. Like, Thor, Iron Man, Daredevil, like, really, really good runs on these characters that I'm now reading in Omnibus because they finally are getting around to, like, printing some of this
stuff. Well, that's the great thing is that they're all coming out in Omnibus. And I read all the – and that's when I started reading, and – I am happily buying those omnibuses.
Yeah. I mean, I just finished the West Coast Avengers omnibus, and it's like, it's great. It's phenomenal stuff. And it's just like, man, it's just like, this is the exact shit I would have been reading monthly. And it's like, how cool would it have been to read this? Like,
it was monthly? Pretty cool.
You know what I mean? It's like Hawkeye leading a team of just a bunch of guys who's like, who disagree with Captain America, you know?
And it's 60 cents an issue.
Yeah.
Ugh. Instead of $100 an omnibus. Well, this has been great. Nick, thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This was really fun. We're all playing with Batman toys now because I took them all out as I was describing them to people.
They are awesome.
You can follow me and Out of My Book on Twitter. That is the only place to get Caffeinated Comic News on Twitter. Thanks again. Had a lot of great conversations on Twitter. Getting retweeted a lot, getting replied a lot. Again, thanks for listening last week and checking us out last week because you're fans of Word Balloon. We really appreciate it. You can like our Facebook page. We've seen a lot of new visitors, hundreds of new visitors in the last couple weeks. Stick around, click like on it, and we're posting stuff pretty much every day. Just about every one of these announcements we posted during the week. Nick, how do we find you online?
Let's think.
Maybe you can't find Nick
online. Maybe you can't find me online. I just changed my Facebook.
Maybe Nick doesn't want to be.
Do you have Twitter?
I do have Twitter. I'm at nbade81 at Twitter. I tweet all the time. I tweet goofy pictures, and I'd like to. It's where I get a lot of my Marvel news. Actually, is from Twitter. A lot of the tweets from the big companies I get from there.
Follow them all,
and just follow me on there, and I'll give you a follow back for sure.
And I'm always at 19 South LaGrange Road in LaGrange, Illinois. Camaras Comics.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not in My Book production.
Take that, meatball!